Well, I guess I'll be the first to say good evening. Thank you for hanging in there. As Tony said, I'm going to describe a community-level analysis that we did of childhood obesity prevalence and looked at it in relation to economic hardship, and then describe some of the actions that our local health department took and continue to take. I'd like to acknowledge my colleague Margaret Shee, who's the chief of our epidemiology unit, who led the analysis. We benefited from the fact that LA County is so large. In land area, 4,300 square miles, over 10 million residents, about one in five residents living in poverty based on the federal definition of poverty. A very ethnically diverse population, 47% Latino, 30% white, 13% Asian Pacific Islander, 9% African American, 0.3% American Indian, Alaskan Native. And many different languages spoken. And very importantly for our analysis, LA City certainly dominates the landscape, but 88 cities in total, and then a large unincorporated area of the county that includes about a million residents that can be divided into about 50 census-based communities, and then also 81 school districts. Now, we have pretty good data on adults in the county. We do a survey called the LA County Health Survey every 2 to 3 years. We've been doing that since 1997. And based on self-reported height and weight, we've seen a very steady increase in the prevalence of adult obesity from 14.3% in 1997 to 22.2% in 2007. We're collecting data now and are eagerly awaiting to see if we're beginning to see a plateauing. And then a similar increase in the prevalence of diabetes. For children, it was a bigger challenge to identify a data source. But fortunately, we found that our school system collects important data. It's called the California Physical Fitness Testing Program. It's a mandated activity, requires that all public schools do physical fitness testing of all children in grades 5, 7, and 9. And it's administered by the State Department of Education. Schools are actually required to report the information, and then the State Department of Education reports annually to the legislature. The full system was implemented in 1999, and we actually approached CDE in the spring of 2002 to see if we could access the data. The fitness gram includes six different measures of fitness, and for our work, very importantly, it included body composition, and the vast majority of schools measure height and weight in the students. The measurements are done by teachers. This isn't like a rigorous research study, but as a surveillance system, some of the validation work we've done suggests that it's relatively accurate information, and it's unique in the sheer numbers. We get data on nearly 300,000 school children each year in the county. And so over time, we've seen, this figure shows the trend for the largest school district, LA Unified School District, and then for the other 80 school districts combined. We saw a very steady increase in childhood obesity prevalence from 1999 to 2005. And then for the last 3 years, a leveling. We've also looked at the data in relation to community level median household income. And so the uppermost line shows the trend in childhood obesity prevalence in the census tracts that have the lowest median household income. So in other words, these are quartiles. And so you can see by 2008, nearly 30% of children going to schools in these census tracts were obese. At the other extreme, in the most affluent communities, 15.3%. And so that led us to want to look at things more carefully geographically. And so we then did this analysis across the 88 cities. Within the large city of Los Angeles, we further broke it down by city council district. And then in the unincorporated area, we broke it out by these census-defined communities. So we had data at the end of the analysis on 128 cities and communities. We had data on childhood obesity prevalence, and then we use census data to measure economic hardship in each of these communities based on six different data elements in the census: housing occupancy, which is essentially a measure of crowding, poverty, unemployment, educational attainment, the number of dependents in the home, and then per capita income. And we found a very, very strong correlation between childhood obesity prevalence and economic hardship, the correlation coefficient 0.83. To give you some perspective, we looked at childhood obesity prevalence in relation to lots of other things. We looked at it, for example, in relation to per capita green space, fast food density, crime statistics, and nothing came anywhere near. While there were some positive associations, nothing came anywhere near the very strong relationship with economic hardship. We put out a report that shows the data for all the 28 cities and communities. And on this slide, I show just the top 10, those with the lowest rates of childhood obesity, and then the other extreme, the bottom 10. You see a column showing obesity prevalence, and then for anybody that's familiar with Los Angeles County, you probably don't even need to look at the other column, which is the rank in economic hardship, but the numbers are there. And so for the top 10, these are all among the most affluent cities and communities in Los Angeles County. You can see at the bottom of the column, the average was about 8%. The very lowest was Manhattan Beach at 4.2%. So in other words, this group, in essence, was almost living in a world that is pre-epidemic back in the 1970s. At the other extreme, the average is close to 32%, 31.5%, ranging from 29% to, at the highest, Maywood, which, as the crow flies, is only about 15 miles away from Manhattan Beach at 37.4%. We've repeated the analysis in 2008, and the only point I want to make here is that if you look at the bottom of each of the obesity prevalence columns, you'll see that the divide is growing wider. Remember, it was about 8% in the top 10 in 05, and now it's 6.2%. And in the bottom 10, it was 31.5%. It's now at 32.7%. So it seems to be widening. And so I'm going to briefly describe some of the actions that our department, our local public health department, has taken in partnership with many others in the county. And to sum it all up, we've increasingly moved from a relatively traditional individual level intervention focus to a much greater degree focusing on efforts that are at the community level, environmental and policy sorts of interventions. We established a program called the Policies for Livable Active Communities and Environments, or PLACE, program in 2006. Its mission is to foster policy change that supports the development of healthier environments where we live, work, and play, leading to healthier communities throughout Los Angeles County. The childhood obesity statistics that we have now available at the city and community level have been very helpful for this program. They feel that it's greatly aided their efforts to attract the interest of the policymakers and very definitely the community folks within those cities and communities. Their initial focus was on physical activity promotion almost exclusively through land use and transportation policy, working very intensively with city planners, for example. Over the last several years, though, it's really evolved into a much broader agenda. They've recognized the nexus between physical activity and public safety, and so they're focusing much more because the community has told us that this is an important area of concern for them: injury and violence prevention, nutrition and the food environment, air pollution issues, affordable housing, and a more general focus on health equity. This a program has helped us convene a series of workshops and meetings where we've brought together a health department staff and also many city staff, city planners and transportation engineers, and then also many folks from the community, various community-based organizations, where we've had small group discussions and where we've actually situated people geographically, so at tables, so that public health folks and community folks and land use planners could all talk about their community and begin to plan efforts to address obesity. We were very lucky. Our County Board of Supervisors agreed to invest $750,000 a year over a period of 3 years to support city and community efforts. Initially, what they envisioned was a very traditional health education model, and it took quite some effort for us to get them to buy into the notion of partially funding cities along with community-based organizations to focus on environmental interventions and policy. We invested some funding in a technical assistance coordinator, and that's been invaluable for the communities and the cities. We found during the selection process there was an inherent tension between community readiness, city readiness, and community need. Unfortunately, the most needy communities were the least prepared to do the work. And because this was the first round of funding, we'd never done this before, we felt a certain amount of pressure to pick city-community partnerships where we felt there was a high likelihood of success. And so we were subjected to a fair amount of criticism, actually, from both the policymakers and communities who felt that we had overlooked some very needy communities. And as a result, I think we've, as a department, focused more of our efforts on infrastructure development in some of these communities so that in the next rounds, hopefully, of this sort of funding, they'll be better prepared. We're in the third year of the grant cycle, and I will say the future of the grant program is in question due to budget constraints, but we've had great success in these five communities, not only in the work that we funded, but in these communities developing a greater capacity to go after other funding sources. For example, three of the five communities for the very first time successfully obtained Safe Routes to School funding. So it's been actually a very popular program. We hope it can be continued. We've had a number of other department initiatives. Our Division of Community Health Services traditionally was very much focused, as I mentioned, on individual level intervention, very traditional kinds of public health work. We've reclassified a cadre of about 25 to 30 staff, mostly public health nurses, but also some public health educators, into what we're calling community liaisons. And they're working much more in a much more focused way with policymakers at the city level and with community organizations and community leaders to intervene in many of the ways that are being described at this conference, focusing on environmental and policy sorts of interventions. As a result of our work and the city community obesity report we put out, we were able to get funding from Kaiser Permanente and the California Endowment to actually focus on the 10 cities in the county with the very highest rates of childhood obesity. They saw the numbers and they just felt compelled to act. And so we are working with those 10 cities and their community organizations, community leaders, to try to address the problem in those areas. We established a health equity work group in our department that's primarily focused on the social determinants of health. We produced an internal working document with over 30 recommendations and five focus areas: neighborhood conditions, education across the life course, income and employment, social structures and connectedness, and healthcare and health promotion. We hope to be able to implement many of those recommendations over the next 3 to 5 years. We faced a number of challenges. Probably at the top of the list, to change the traditional view of the role of public health and local public health departments, both within our department, amongst our staff, our over 4,000 staff, but also outside our department, our bosses, the five elected county supervisors, who really don't, to this day, have, I think, a strong understanding of the need for us to work at the policy and environmental level. And relatedly, the need for a policy systems focus. We've had to really invest in new sorts of training programs for our staff, and also trying to recruit new types of staff with different skills and a different knowledge base. For example, for the first time, we've hired a woman with a public health degree, but also a law degree, and I would say she's probably one of the most valuable folks in my division. The need to establish new partnerships. We're making lots of new friends, and that's required us to really get outside of our comfort zone. the need not only to engage, but also to try to influence non-health sector decisions. And many of us in public health are not by nature salespersons, but I've had to try to identify staff that are very extroverted and very entrepreneurial and very persuasive in the ways that they interact. And finally, we're also dealing with very significant budget cuts and competing demands. And I'll close with this. We are very thrilled and privileged to receive funding under the CPPW initiative. We received an unprecedented level of funding, excuse me, nearly $16 million for community-based obesity prevention efforts focused on policy systems and environmental change, specifically to increase physical activity and improve nutrition. I think the past several years of work we've done put us in a good place to compete for the funding and also better prepared us to do the work, although it's a ridiculously short time frame in which we need to achieve some measurable objectives. For those of you, I don't have time to really describe our project Renew, renewing environments for nutrition, exercise, and wellness, but for those of you interested, Suzanne Bogert is our project director. I have her email on the slide. I'll also be here after the session, and I'm happy to talk with any of you and share our materials. Thank you.